They secretly returned to Earth and hid under the Giza Plateau, which supports the Great Khops Pyramid. The Great Pyramid had been built by their Lyran ancestors about 73,475 years ago. At the time, it served as the top of a small underground city where they lived. The Bifarth creatures are a wicked group who would like to rule the Earth. For almost 2,000 years they have tried to take over the Earth by controlling the minds of religious and political leaders through telepathic means. For many years the Bifarth have controlled many religious leaders, causing confusion and wars among the people. They have also caused illusions of religious saints to come into the minds of people, causing them to fall further into delusion and illogical thinking. The Bifarth caused the Walport, Oregon incident in September of 1975, where people were giving up their worldly possessions to leave Earth in a spaceship. They were told the end of the Earth was near and that they could be saved. After the Pleiadians became aware of the interference of the Bifarth and their control over the people of Walport, they intervened and brought the incident to an end. An American named Reinhold Schmidt was controlled telepathically by the Bifarth to believe he had been in the pyramid to see the crucifixion tools. He also was fooled into thinking that he had a ride in a spaceship to the Arctic. This was all illusion, caused by telepathy, to control the poor man. He is not lying because he actually believes it to be true. During the year 1976, 723 persons were under the telepathic control of the Bifarth. After causing many problems for the Pleiadians during their mission to Earth, it was decided to remove the Bifarth from Earth, so they would not be able to cause any more problems for the people here. They were captured and placed on other worlds. One of the Pleiadian leaders, named Ta, also affected their spirit forms in some fashion, so they would not be able to reincarnate for several thousand years. This will, in effect, ensure that they can no longer interfere in the affairs of Earth. Was Adolf Hitler influenced by ETs? The Pleiadians say that Adolf Hitler was born a person of very great worth. He was not spiritually advanced, but was of very high intelligence. He was destined to bring great change to the world through his intellect. Through the Thule Society in Germany, the Bifarth were able to seize possession of Adolf and to use him for their dark and evil purposes, something he could not defend himself against. Many around him were also controlled. Hitler became convinced that he was doing the right thing for Earth, and set out to create a master race that would bring the world to new heights of civilization. His out-of-control ego and desire for power made him easy prey for the implanted thoughts of the Bifarth. The world came to hate him, without really understanding what had happened. Is there really an ET named Ashtar? Kamigol was an evil leader of the Bifarth. In 1937 a commander of his named Aruzik, known to some as Ashtar Shran, fled the tyranny of his rule in his own personal effort to know the truth. He and his men left the Earth to get away from the power of Kamigol and make a better life for themselves. Since the Bifarth are no longer on Earth and Kamigol has passed away, it has been safe for Ashtar to make contact with some of those on Earth. He sends information to the minds of many Earth people, but is not really informed of the truth himself. We must be careful with his information, since he still uses the tactics of the Bifarth by appealing to those who are seeking a god to worship. Using the same methods as his former leaders, he will quite often control Earth people by pretending that Jesus is with him in his ship and is working for Earth. This is very unfortunate, for many people of Earth prefer to believe in the teachings of Jesus, and they are being led astray by the deceptive teachings of Ashtar. There are too many incidents of ETs easily taking advantage of the mindset here on Earth. Who are the blue race? There is a blue-skinned race of people, who for many years have kept to themselves and lived in subterranean cities. This race has two underground cities, one in France and one in Asia, and rarely come to the surface. They have been seen on many occasions in India. They are very peaceful and pose no threat to our society, for they are not interested in us except for the fact that we may cause the destruction of the planet. What is the Destroyer Comet? In ancient Lyran history they speak of a Destroyer Comet that tore through their system and wiped out a large percentage of the population. This was a great setback to their civilization. That same comet led the Pleiadians into our system around 226,000 years ago. On several occasions, the comet had a dramatic effect on our planet. Earth was disturbed by the comet passing by too closely 10,215 years ago, parting the waters of the Atlantic Ocean in the area where Atlantis had been. Again, 10,079 years ago, 8104 BC, the comet passed by Earth and caused what is known as the Biblical Flood. At that time, the Earth day was 40 hours long. Egypt was flooded and covered with water for many years, forcing the inhabitants to hide under the Great Pyramid. On two other occasions, 5984 BC and 4930 BC, the comet caused tremendous storms on Earth. The cycles of the comet are rather erratic and unpredictable to a point. Sometimes it will come as quickly as 478 years and sometimes as long as 683 years. But always the average appearance figures out to be every 575 and one half years, which is very unusual and puzzling to the Pleiadians. It is when the cycle is closer to the 575 and one half year that it passes the closest to the planet Earth. It is expected that the comet may return again in 2255 AD. The Great Comet passed by Earth about 3,500 years ago, once again creating a terrible storm in the Mediterranean and bringing the sleeping volcano of Santorini to life. Located on the island now called Thra, just 60 miles north of Crete, the great volcano erupted with a terrible force, causing a 200-foot high tidal wave that rolled over Crete, Egypt, and Syria. At the time Crete was called Minoa, her people were the descendants of the Atlanteans. Many of them fled to safety as their homes went underwater. Minoa remains standing today, but the island of small Atlantis, which was situated close to the great volcano, slipped beneath the ocean and disappeared forever. The last passage was in 1680, which again caused great damage in the Mediterranean area. Where did the moon come from? Millions of years ago, our moon was a fragment of a destroyed planet in another system. It was caught by the immense power of the destroyer comet and pulled into our system. The moon was part of a planet that is 4.5 million years older than the Earth. Theories that the moon was once part of the Earth can easily be dispelled by an examination of the minerals found there, which date back farther than any on Earth. How many people on Earth are in contact with the Pleiadians? In 1975, the Pleiadians stated that there are over 17,422 people on Earth in contact with Pleiadians. These are not physical contacts, even though there may be some isolated cases where they have had brief physical contacts. These contacts are the result of transmissions by the Pleiadians that can be picked up by Earth people. It is quite common to receive thought or ideas during sleep or daydreaming. It is part of the Pleiadian morality to not ever let the receiving party be aware of the origin of transmissions, for they feel this is interfering with our free will and our right to evolve on our own. It is also part of their decision not to interfere with a developing species. It should be noted that this information was given to us in 1975. I feel strongly that since then, many people may be aware of the origins of the transmissions and may even be in contact physically. For those who are aware of their contact with the Pleiadians, only a few come to the public with their ideas. As we are advancing more into the new age, perhaps more will feel the need to help out by going public with what they are learning. In non-physical contacts, it is very easy to mix your own ideas, wishes, fears, and dreams with transmitted data. The human mind is capable of manufacturing almost anything, so great care and personal integrity must be exercised before relaying any information you may have to the public. Sometimes special people may be contacted for specific tasks that the Pleiadians have in mind. It should be noted that none of those chosen are in any way connected with the government, for this is directly against Pleiadian laws. Where is the closest planet to Earth with human life? There is a human race very similar to our own, located just 5 light-years from Earth on a planet called Akart by the Pleiadians. Technically, they are only around 117 years ahead of us and are in the first stages of development of space flight. They have visited Earth on several occasions from a space station that they have out in free space. Even though they have developed space flight, they have not yet advanced to the point of breaking through to hyperspace. This means they cannot travel in time or traverse the huge distances of the universe in short periods of time. Even their trips to Earth take several years. They suffer from bodily pain when they travel in space, and they use drugs to help overcome this problem. Their ships are not yet equipped with energy protection screens of the type that can shield them from special radiations that penetrate their ships. They mostly come to Earth for food, taking with them seeds, plants, water, and other staples of life that they may need. Their home world is greatly overpopulated and supports over 23 billion people. Here on Earth we have built our population up from around 1.5 billion to over 5.4 billion people, just in the last 100 years. Are we headed for the same problem of overpopulation that may send us out into space for food? When will Earth have open contact with ETs? The Pleiadians have been watching and observing our progress as a society and have indicated that they may instigate an open contact for the people of Earth. This may be done around the year 2000 AD with a race of beings not so different from ourselves. If this plan for contact comes to fruition, we will be contacted by radio and informed that they are approaching Earth and will be here in several months. At first there may be a lot of panic and fear, for we will have no idea who they are or why they are coming here. The thought of beings from another world strikes fear into the hearts of many people on Earth. After several more radio transmissions, people will begin to calm down and get used to the idea. Continued transmission will explain that they look similar to us, but have no hair, their bodies are thinner and taller, but with hands and feet like we have. They will arrive in a ship which is very large, white in color and oval-shaped, something like a large egg. The landing will be in America, for they will have ascertained that here people will be more receptive and less prone to panic and fear. It is not known for sure if the Pleiadians will continue to encourage this contact. As we approach the year 2000 AD, we can only wait and hope for the first radio transmission. Did the atom bomb dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima have any lasting effects on the planet? August 6, 1945 saw the end of World War II between the Japanese and the United States due to an atomic bomb which was dropped on Hiroshima, followed a few days later by another atomic bomb over Nagasaki. These blasts have had several lasting effects on the planet. To begin with, the explosions had a very small, almost undetectable effect on the rotation of the planet. It has also affected the normal orbit of the planet around the Sun. Scientists have no idea of the far-reaching effects that these two actions will have on the planet. The magnetic poles of the planet have been shifted and continue to rotate. The North Pole has already moved into the Canadian Sea, and in 1,000 years it will be located on the western coast of Saudi Arabia at a point between Sidon at the Red Sea and the Islamic town called Mecca. The South Pole is likewise shifting and is heading towards South America. The effects of these changes are not recognizable yet, except for some minor changes in weather, but over the long haul the entire planet will have been affected, since entire continents will become uninhabitable as the weather changes. All of the oceans will be affected, and millions of people will have to move out of Europe as it slowly becomes the ice-covered North Pole. In Russia, scientists have already discovered the shift in the poles and have properly calculated the direction of the shift and the effects on the planet. At the time of the explosions, large amounts of very high-frequency radiations were unleashed, which are having disastrous effects on the ozone belt around the planet. This is not normal electrical energy, but radiation energy detectable in the ultraviolet field that is currently unknown to the scientists of Earth. This radiation normally mixes with the oxygen in the air and generates ozone. Normally 500,000 parts of air has only one part of ozone, but after the explosion, the ozone value increased 34 times for a short time, which amounted to 28 parts. Just after the blast, the ozone values decreased very fast. The consequence is that this imbalance will destroy the microorganisms, which are of enormous importance to the preservation of all earthly life. This effect will last for hundreds of years. By the year 3000, the North Pole will be located in Saudi Arabia near the city of Mecca. The story of Street Germain. The man known as Street Germain was born under the star sign of Aries into the family of Rákóczi in the year 1711 in Colonia, known today as Köln, in West Germany. He had the title of Count Street Germain. He became friendly with a power group called the Rosicrucians, who were interested in his ability to influence people of power, such as kings and nobles. Since he was a man of few morals or scruples, he began to work for the Rosicrucians in order to gain control and power, using illusion and deception that was not understood by many of his time. He could easily of his followers into believing he was a man of great magic who could live for thousands of years. Being particularly good at magic and alchemy, it was easy to beguile the simple minds of the people of his time. Street Germain never became a member of the Rosicrucians, although he claimed to have attained the high ranking of a member of the Seventh Beam, which means he would have been an initiated one. In actuality, he was nothing more than a sleight-of-hand artist who was good with chemicals, which allowed him to produce a glare gold, using certain chemicals on metal. He would hypnotize women of importance and get their secrets, then wake them up and tell them what he knew about them, causing them to marvel at his supposed abilities. They had no idea that they were being hypnotized and used so easily. He would even convince some people that he could become invisible, since the people of the time had no idea of the power of hypnosis over the conscious mind. To further enhance his image, he claimed to have traveled to China, which was not true. He actually only went to Berlin to report to the Rosicrucians. This was a splinter group, for the main group was in Vienna. The Rosicrucians used alchemy to make him look younger so that people would believe that he was really timeless and would live forever. After his death at the age of 73, the Rosicrucians found people who looked like him and altered their faces to keep the myth going. The Pleiadians tracked down his spirit, and found that the man who was known as Street Germain is currently reincarnated and is living in Germany. Are there any Pleiadians working with our government? According to the Pleiadians in 1975, no government is in contact with ETs on a regular basis, and there are no Pleiadians working in government positions. To begin with, the Pleiadians, as well as most other races that come to Earth, have no authority to interfere with the political or power structures on Earth. The Alliance of Planets that they belong to forbids this. They have a policy of non-interference as long as the inhabitants of a planet are not technically advanced enough to leave their own solar system. There are, of course, some races that come to Earth or pass by who do not belong to this alliance, but they have no interest in the affairs of our planet, and they would be discouraged by the Pleiadians and other races anyway. The Pleiadians do not interfere or work with any governments. If they did, there would be no need for secrecy. Their mission is to help the beings of the planet, not individual organizations, self-appointed governments, or political leaders. Also, if they were involved with governments, the military would not be so busy hunting for their beam ships. It has been almost 20 years since the Pleiadians commented on this, and things are different today since the American, Russian, English, and other governments have all come in contact with ETs from different systems. It is unfortunate that none of them, except the Belgian government, have decided to share what is going on with the public, but the time is rapidly approaching when the secret can no longer be kept, as thousands of people all over the planet are having contacts of their own. And the truth is coming out. Do any Earth governments have beam ships? As far as the beam ships are concerned, several Earth governments have been working on their development for many years. These are not really beam ships like the Pleiadians have developed, but they are equipped with explosion-type motors, or with a kind of drive system that has a thrust effect. The first ship of this type was developed in February of 1941 in Germany under orders from Adolf Hitler. The first flight of the craft attained altitudes of over 40,000 feet, with speeds of over 1,200 miles per hour. If the Germans had been able to perfect these craft and get them into the air, they would have made a decisive difference in the outcome of the war. At the end of World War II, the ship was destroyed so that it would not fall into the hands of the enemies, although some of the plans for certain parts of the ship were taken, and other governments started work on these flying discs after the war and still continue today. The test flights of those flying discs are sometimes seen by individuals who believe they are looking at extraterrestrial craft, and are not aware that they are man-made. The size of the Earth-made ships is normally 300 feet in diameter, and they do not fly very well. They cannot leave the atmosphere and are confined to low altitudes on Earth. In some cases, emergency landings have been made because of faulty equipment. This has been a serious health problem in some cases, since many of the craft now being developed use atomic power and give off radiation which is harmful to those who come in close contact to it. In events where this has happened, the pilots of these craft usually seize any witnesses and threaten them with harm if they should tell anyone of the incident. Or they will say they are from other worlds, and pretend to be extraterrestrials that will kidnap the witnesses and take them away if they speak about what they have seen. Since most Earth people can be so easily controlled by fear, this method has worked well to keep their secret, and there are many Earth beings that are quick to believe that extraterrestrials are visiting Earth and would gladly go along with this story. While there are certain evil-minded extraterrestrials that do come to Earth and occasionally kidnap Earth beings for study and experimentation, most of the kidnappings are by Earthcraft, using the people for their own devices and study. Certainly most of the sightings and observations reported are of Earthcraft. It is very unfortunate that men of Earth have such little respect and love for each other, for there are many cases where Earthcraft have pretended to be sent by God or that they are angels on a mission, then exercise control over Earth beings to do their will or perform certain tasks for them. In some cases, the makers of these earthly craft have tried to control public knowledge this way, by telling the Earth contactees that they are ETs and giving them information to tell the public that is not true. This is most common with religious messages. Since the Earthman is so easily controlled by the message of God, it is easy to make him believe that he is having contact with God's own messengers, or that Jesus is on board the craft, and has chosen them to speak for him. This is very unfortunate, since the well-meaning Earth contactee does not know any better and is being used by his fellow man. There is also no truth to the story that the Pleiadians or any other race have come to save the Earth and create peace. This is probably the most harmful thing to tell people, since it only builds up false hopes and serves to enslave the thinking of Earth people even more by making them think that someone else is going to save them or create the long-awaited peace, while they do nothing to create it themselves. The Pleiadians, as well as all other races that they are in contact with regarding Earth, would never do this, for it is not their responsibility to control the future of any race. They care about us like distant relatives because we have common ancestry, and they love us as they do all creatures of creation, but they will not solve our problems or control our destiny. We must follow our own path and take 100% responsibility for ourselves and our world. It can work no other way. Life forms in our universe. Here on Earth, there is probably no bigger question than whether or not there is life on other worlds. It challenges our belief systems and poses the deep question, are we alone? It is probably a good idea that we have not been exposed to the answer yet, for until we reach a stage of development where we can live in harmony and use the technology necessary to get there with responsibility, we probably wouldn't properly understand what we would see anyway. The possibilities for societies of different morals, philosophies, and customs are endless. As yet we have not even been able to get along with our neighbors here on Earth who merely look, dress, or speak differently. So, as in all things, we need to take one step at a time and get our own house in order before we go visiting someone else. Pleiadian science, along with information that they have learned through their contacts with other races, can give us a picture of the development of human life throughout the universe. The planet Earth was one of 40,353,607 planets that naturally developed the human life form during the course of its evolution. As billions of years of evolution went by and race after race developed and spread out into the universe, proliferation of the human form began. Currently in our galaxy alone, it is estimated that there are over 7,500,000,000 planets that support various forms of human life. The Pleiadians have come in contact with 1,800,000 of them and found 343 different variations of the human form. The differences come in the number of fingers, eyes, skin color, height, etc., but all are erect Homo sapiens as we would classify them on Earth. As we move out into free space and explore, we will begin to come into contact with some of these races and will discover there is a large family of man extending to the depths of the universe. Future visions and Pleiadian prophecy. Billy's home, the Samjay's Silver Star Center, is located up in the hills among beautiful, rolling countryside with deep valleys filled with clouds that mist the beautiful vegetation, making everything seem fresh and alive. Taking walks in the forest around the center was a particularly enjoyable pastime for me. There is a little road that passes by the center and leads off into the woods where I could easily be alone for as long as I desired. Large trees and lush shrubbery filled with nature's little creatures lend to the magical feeling that permeates the Swiss air. I had a couple of places that I liked to go that weren't too far into the woods, but distant enough to feel alone. My favorite time for forest sitting was late in the afternoon as the sun was starting to go down. The sunlight would be breaking through the old trees and creating dancing lights that frolicked across the ground like small children playing. I often spent an hour or two sitting in this beautiful, serene place, just bonding with all that was around me. I had been at the center for a couple of months, and my head was filled with new ideas for my mind to assimilate. Here in the forest was a great place to be at peace and commune with nature while working out man of the questions I had. Billy, Bruni, Silvino, and many of the other members of the FIGU had all been very kind to me over the past few weeks and shared with me their hearts and their minds. I was very thankful, and I had a lot to think about. One of the really nice things about a forest is the great energy that it contains. It's a wonderful place for personal reflection because the energy of nature helps you raise your consciousness and spiritually bond with the universe. I was very interested in connecting with the future to see how the knowledge of what I was learning would fit into the world. The Pleiadians had made such an effort to bring us knowledge in so many areas, and I had to think that the future could be changed for the better. Visions of the future, daydreams, and unexplained flashes of ideas were common to me, as I always welcomed information from different realms. As a child, I learned how to open myself up to seeing future events. I believed the future was being created by the present, and we could foresee what we were creating if we so desired. To me, a future vision was nothing more than a glimpse of what my spirit was planning for my material self to do, and I always enjoyed watching. My times in the Swiss forest helped me work out the meaning of what I was learning about the coming times of change for man on Earth. Besides, something rather peculiar was happening within myself. I was having vivid daytime dreams and visions that seemed to deal with what I was learning. I was very drawn to the history data. Somehow it seemed a little familiar, but not like I had been there. It just seemed to make a lot of sense to me, as if I had already known about it. My feelings were getting stronger all the time about my attachment to the Pleiadian mission. Bruni had suggested that perhaps I was of Lyran descent and had come to Earth many thousands of years ago as a rather violent warrior. Possibly this was all true, as my visions were all very strong and vivid and seemed to occur in real time, which is indicative of future or past visions. They weren't fleeting daydreams of ideas or feelings, but real-time remembrances. Like I was there living the moment. Sometimes they would last for several days, like a movie running in the background while I was doing other things. I was using a routine of mental exercises to cause these visions that I had learned when I was a kid. It was a game I would play with my mind that would allow me to turn off the physical world and tune into other realms of consciousness. The game was my own invention and is a little childish, but it does produce results. It was certainly working for me with the Pleiadian material, for I was doing more remembering than I was learning. Almost everything I would read from Billy's contact notes was easy to understand, as if I had known it before and was being reminded. Even the concepts of space travel and the structure of the universe seemed like things I had known before but had somehow just forgotten.